From Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Jughead. And I was going to go with, but I've never had a baby, so I really couldn't get the it down.
Is it because of your explosive personality?
That was really bad.
Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of the Lost Podcast. And we had a new episode last night, and it was awesome.
I liked it.
We had a new episode, and I must say, I mean, I don't want to like give away too much, but I think this one is my favorite episode of the season so far, if not one of my favorite episodes all the time.
I wouldn't say all time, but it did have me going...
It had me tense the whole episode.
Well, it had me going back and forth. At first, I thought someone was someone else, and then I got slammed on that one. And then I started putting two and two together, and then when you finally get the... I mean, I figured out who the one person was.
Well, why don't we just get into the recap so we're not doing this whole he said, she said, this is what happened.
Yeah. I think that might be better.
All right. What do you say we get into the Lost recap?
Do it.
All right, here we go.
Lost recap. Lost recap. Lost recap.
All right, it's last recap time. I had a new episode to talk about today.
Yay!
Titled Jughead.
Was that the title?
That was the title.
I'm sorry, I did not know that.
You know, I thought that was a joke title when at first. I was just like, how can they name an episode that's just the most nonsensical name, name an episode?
But it makes sense as it goes along.
Well, as you see what it's named for. But this episode is a Desmond-centric episode, at least... off the island.
He always has the best episodes.
I know.
Now, what would happen if we never had a Desmond character?
I don't know.
Would we have ever had great episodes?
I don't know, but he's rivaling Locke, I think, with the best episodes.
Wow.
And I'm a Locke fan, but...
You are a Locke fan.
I am a Penny... I'm a Pesmond shipper all the way.
Yeah, okay.
I root for those two all the time. But anyways, ding, I digress. We start with Desmond, and it's some kind of... coastal or island, maybe South Pacific or
that's
something.
That's what we're guessing.
But he's calling out for a doctor.
And they play Texas Hold'em a lot louder there than we do here.
But I don't remember. I don't want to butcher what he was trying to say. But he's calling for a doctor, and he gets a doctor, and he said, "There's a lot of blood." I was like, "Oh crap, what's going on?"
Well, I pretty much knew what was going on because I saw a preview.
Well, yeah, I saw the preview. But I was just like, oh, man. And we see that Penny's having a baby. But I was like, I thought she was going to die because a lot of blood. And that would have been really dramatic if she died. It didn't really make sense with him.
There'd be no more Pesmen.
There'd be no more Pesmen or Pez dispensers. And I knew that probably couldn't happen since she was alive when we found out that he was away from the island for 3 years.
Right.
But still, it had a little bit of drama. But they have a baby. They give birth to a boy. And they say, I love you. And it's, aww.
Did those forceps look clean? Are those forceps that they... grab the baby's head.
Yeah, I think he may have used that for like rotating a chicken or something.
Yeah, it didn't look like grill. I was like going, well, I guess you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
The doctor was quick though.
What's it? Maybe he did. Maybe he had him sterilized. I don't
well,
know.
Well, the baby came out like he was there like.
It isn't always in the movies and TV. It's just like bam, bam.
Yeah. And that happens all, like 36 in real hours. Life. It happens in real life like that too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Women are
pretty. Because movies and TV is real life.
Women make it sound like it's a real big deal to give birth. Come on.
We then come out of a pseudo flashback to Dez and his son overlooking at a very special island.
Yes.
A special island we know so much.
I knew it wasn't that island.
Oh, I know. I think it was more just a joke, but it is actually the UK.
Yart.
And he talks about Scotland with all of its deep locks and monsters.
Aye.
That's Australian.
That's how he always says. I'm trying to do my Desmond.
But... I know. But then Penny spoils the fun by saying, it's also where he broke my heart.
Yes.
I'm like, man. I was like,
what a killjoy.
I know, seriously. They were just all being lovey-dovey having a kid. And now
well, I
all
think
mean.
She was... hold on a second. She was concerned on the mission that Desmond was
going
to
take. I know,
I know. I think she was just kind of, you know, she's a little upset that Desmond's doing something she does not want him to do.
Mm-hmm. So she's being like, passive
back
aggressive.
Off on bagging on Penny there.
I'm not. I'm just joking. But so she doesn't want to be part of this mission, obviously. She's worried about
her father is a dangerous man.
Exactly. Don't know what to do. But Desmond's we're here because of Faraday.
Well, it's not like I don't think Widmore would ever kill anyone.
No.
No.
Never. He wouldn't snap somebody's neck for trying to work with other people.
No, not at this point.
We then go to Faraday, Miles, and Charlotte the Frady's back on the island.
Two log-carrying people. And you know they're dead.
It's to the point now where I think just doing it on purpose.
It's like we said after last season, we're like going,
Who they have to be gone.
They killed like 30
on that freighter when they blew it up.
I think there was at least 20.
Really think that many?
Because remember, they ran towards the bomb. And it just seems to be a
human shield, quick!
Well, they run towards the bomb, and the trend continues.
Yeah. So they're going to the meeting place. It's supposed to be by the creek, which Sawyer and them were already going that way. But they get there, and Charlotte tells Miles that she's had her head hurt. She's been feeling dizzy and stuff like that, and Miles knows that it's not too good.
No, we better find you a Constance quick.
So they get to the creek, and Miles is kind of being a killjoy.
Yeah, I would say so. He's not as angry as he used to be, but he's more of a
kind
of
he's like a smart aleck.
He's a smart aleck downer. Yeah, exactly.
Reminds me of somebody. I really like this whole episode. Faraday's really stepping up, kind of being a leader type
role.
Well,
like we said, he's no longer McFly.
Exactly, he's no longer McFly. But Miles looks down and he sees
the tripwire.
Tripwire and bombs, but he's just smiling and looking at him like maybe he enjoys seeing log carrying guys die.
No, he did say don't move.
Yeah, after looking at the wire for like 10 minutes. He's like, wait.
No, don't move. And of course, what do log carrying people do? Because they're, let's just put it out there. They're not the sharpest tools in the shed.
No, they're definitely the, yeah.
Okay, but then, so what they do, they move and they really blew up. They're not just.
I think the writer's just having fun now, just seeing the most ridiculous way to kill these people.
Because log-carrying people, they die when we didn't actually see them die. In the first season, what's his name? He's dead. Now they're dying. I mean, they're getting arrows shot into their chest.
Flaming arrows.
They're blown across the water. They're getting shot up 50 feet in the air. It's like, they got to be sitting around going, okay, how can we kill them this week?
Hostiles then come out of the woods, and they pin them. And there's a girl there, and she's later called Ellie, so I'm just going to refer to Ellie.
Okay, I'm
going to
tell you who I thought it was
girl.
Right away.
What?
I didn't know what year it was.
Uh-huh.
I go, it's Annie.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping it was Annie. And then later on, when Locke was talking about the gun, I said, timeline's not going to work. But, you know, do you see how Miles, she goes, who's your leader? And Miles goes, right away, well, Faraday. He is.
And once she said, you again, or why are you back, or something like that?
I didn't write it down, but it was like...
But I thought she was like referencing she's seen Faraday before. Right. That's what I thought.
I thought. I'm like, ooh. And because Faraday gave that look like...
Yeah, just like, oops.
Yeah.
But then we go back to Desmond and Penny. They're docked in the UK. And Desmond kind of pleads his case to Penny. But she's kind of still not having any.
Yeah.
But he says he's just there to find Faraday's mom. It'll just be back by dark one day. I promise that's it. And she asks him to promise they don't ever go back to the island. He's like, why do I want to go there? But, you know,
that's a promise he will not keep.
Yeah, they're going to break it. But I hope at all costs.
Now, do you think when he goes back, she's going to leave him?
That's what I'm worried about. I mean, whatever happens, you know, people can hit the rock and stuff. But in the end, I want them to be together. That's all I want.
That could be the breaking point.
It's either that or maybe
She lost him once already to the island. I don't think she'll put up with it again.
But this is going to be challenging his bravery.
Right.
And his courage. And he has to see the wizard. But so promises you don't go back to the island. And he says, I promise. Why would I want to go back there?
Well, I agree. Why would you want to go back? But it's funny how the losties never want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
But yet other people want to get back there, and they're willing to kill to get back to that island.
Widmore, we're talking about you.
Well, it could be. Ben,
yes.
Other people.
We then go to the hostiles and Frady's, and Ellie wants to know where the rest are. I credit Faraday for doing a good job of kind of keeping his smarts about him, not kind of being weak at all. Really being strong and assertive for the first time, I think, in the show.
Well, he's become the leader.
He has. I mean, in the first episodes, he showed his leadership in that, you know, he knows what's going on. He's going to try and figure out a way to save him. But even in this one, I think
he was smart.
He's really had a huge transformation this season so far, I think. We then go to Sawyer, Juliet, and Locke. Locke's looking at the gun. He points out, you know, this is, what was it, like a Derringer, 39 Derringer, or something
Derringer?
Like that.
No, Derringer's a small little gun.
Well, some kind of rifle. He says it's like brand new.
You didn't write it down.
Did you?
No. Right. I assumed, I saw you write, and I figured it was you. Great.
Great way to assume. But he but he points out, you know, this thing's looks brand new, and that's where you kind of like, oh, okay, they're in the past for sure.
Right.
But I kind of figure that in the way their uniforms were, it looked very much like kind of MASH type army uniforms.
Okay, but why did Juliet stop Locke from telling Sawyer who shot him?
I don't think there's any malintent on that.
Why? Why would you stop? What is?
Because she wants to get straight to what's going on. She wants to figure out stuff.
I think there's something else behind it.
But you just hate Juliet. You just don't trust
her. I don't
her.
Hate Juliet. I still don't trust her. There's always something there with Juliet.
But then the two men start to speak Latin, and Juliet quickly catches them on it, and she starts to speak Latin to them back.
Because she's an other.
And she outs them as others. She's like, well, how do you know Latin? Because the same reason they speak Latin. We're others, or they're others. It's like, what? Cut to Lost.
Well, we knew they
were. Or cut to commercial.
Well, we knew they were all others.
Oh, I know. We then go back to the hostiles and freighties, or freighters, and Miles is walking by, and he senses some fresh graves.
Yes.
Three Americans shot, wounded, killed, and one died of radiation poisoning.
Right.
Which is
three American soldiers. Four American soldiers.
Four. Three killed, were shot. Yeah, shot killed, and one died of radiation.
You know, that's something I couldn't deal with. I couldn't deal with having the dead talking to me. That would just drive me crazy.
But, you know, maybe, you know, Miles seems to roll with it pretty well.
Yeah, but, well, he extorts money out of people. I couldn't do that personally, so it would drive me, you know.
Uh-huh.
But just having people come, dead people come up and talk to me all the time would just...
You'd always have a, you know, a large set of friends.
Yeah, but what if they came at night and you're trying to sleep?
It's perfect for you since you don't sleep. So they get to the others' camp, and it looks like a, you know, like a U.S. kind of mobile camp, the tent set up and everything. And they call out Richard, and Richard Albert comes out and seems to be their leader.
Yes.
Way in the past, which we kind of figured anyway, but it kind of confirms that he's been around for a while.
He ages well.
Yes. I think it's the eyeliner. It really.
You think that's what it is?
I think it's the eyeliner.
Maybe I should start wearing some.
I think you should. We'll turn into a vidcast. So then Richard talks to Faraday, but Faraday just kind of throws it right back at him. He's like,
well, he goes, what's your name? He goes, what's your name?
I know, right back.
But Richard didn't hesitate.
No. And he says, I assume you come back for your bomb. We then go to Oxford, and Desmond goes in the library and asks for some records on Faraday, and the lady seemingly can't find any.
And I knew what this was. I said, I turned to my, first time I saw, I said, well, Widmore's, you know, had that.
See, at first I thought maybe Desmond went back in some completely different time than the 90s.
No, I turned to my wife and said, Widmore's taking the records out. He's behind it.
But yeah, that made a lot more sense once that kind of played out.
Yeah.
But then he sneaks into the old lab anyway. It's deserted.
Okay.
Stuff's kind of thrown around.
Right. If they don't want any part of any record of Faraday ever being there, why is this stuff still there?
I agree.
You can take the rats down, the infirmary, not infirmary, incinerator.
Incinerator, yes.
And burn them up. Why can't you take the rest
of the maze is still there. That kind of radiation light thing is still there. And there's a picture of him and a lady, which I assume is later we find out is Teresa. Do you think it's the same girl?
I think
it looks a lot like the same
It looks
girl.
A lot like her, but who is she? Who is she to Faraday?
Don't know.
Who is she to? Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, Ellie later did call him Romeo.
Yes. Well, far from it.
Yes.
Especially in this, when he, you know.
So a janitor type guy comes out in.
Yeah.
And he
knows everything.
He does seem to know everything, but I guess rumors can spread around.
That's true.
But he says it was a crazy guy trying to send rats' brains back in time. Isn't that crazy?
How crazy is that?
And Desmond's like, yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't know why you'd find him anyway after what he did to that girl, or can you blame them?
Yeah.
For erasing everything after what he did to that girl. And it's like, what? We then go back to the Freydies, and Faraday assures Miles and Charlotte that they're thrown into like a little tent thing. And he assures them it's going to be okay.
Well, we're going to have a flash in 5 minutes or 5,000 years.
Well, yeah, so what we're going to do is like, we just got to stay tight until the next flash. And he says, how long is 5 minutes to 5,000 years? That's not too bad.
No.
If you're, you know, like Albert.
Right.
It'd be just fine. It's like, that's 5,000 years. That's like 2 days.
But in lost time.
Yes, exactly. But he says to me, keep thinking that we are U.S. soldiers and I think we'll be okay. So then Richards steps in and he says, am I interrupting?
Nope.
And they have a discussion about
he's
the
always,
bomb.
You know what? He's always so polite.
He is. I love Richard.
He gets his point across.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's in charge.
Yeah.
You know there's something behind him sinister.
But you know
but
what?
He's polite about it.
The thing is, though, is like I don't think he's really sinister, quite honestly, because he's never like Ben in that he's evil and conniving, and it seems like you can never trust anything because Ben seems to always be playing somebody.
Well, that's true, but I guess
Richard,
that's true.
I feel, is pretty pretty blunt and honest.
Right. I guess that's true.
I mean, he says he's.
But can you trust him?
I don't know if so much you can trust him is that he follows orders. He's going to do what Jacob tells him to do.
Right.
But he's pretty honest and pretty fair. It seems like.
Yeah.
Compared to, say, Widmore, who knows if he actually became a leader or not. I'm kind of skipping ahead later into the story. Or Ben, who is obviously kind of a conniver and stuff like
right.
that. Locke, not so much an evil conniver as Ben, but either way. So then Faraday convinces that he needs to fix the bomb. And Richard says, you know, how do I not know that you're just going to go over there and detonate it and kill us all? And he drops a big bomb saying, because I love that woman next to me.
But also, he talks about the guy that had the radiation burns.
Yes.
Did we ever see the guy's face?
I think in passing, when Miles senses the grave, the fresh grave.
And, I'm trying
because
to think,
that's when Faraday looks at his hands.
Because I'm trying to think of
you think it's somebody important?
I think someone important.
I don't think so.
I think it's someone we've seen before.
I don't think that's just putting too many there in that time period. I think it's putting too many people in that one set.
I'll have to go back and watch it again, but I don't remember seeing the guy's face.
Okay.
And why would they show the guy's hands and not show his face?
I guess so. So Locke and crew are walking through the jungle with their prisoners, and Suri asks, you know, why Latin? He says, well, it's the enlightened language. That's Others 101.
Well, it explains why the mural in the Swan Station was in Latin.
Ah, that's right. Very good.
I have some kind of a memory.
And then the other guy, it's not Jones. Did we ever get like his patch name anyway? It's not probably not even his name, but
no, the guy that gets snapped.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's screen caps of
it. But then Juliet starts speaking in Latin, tries to reason with him, saying, you know, can we just, you know, take us to your camp? And then she mentions Richard Alpert.
And everyone goes, And
Juliet knows something when she can safely assume that Richard's there.
Right. Well, she knows. She's on the inside.
She is on the inside.
Well, she knows that. Well, when you see her Locke's face light up, did you say Richard Albert? Well, yeah,
duh. And the guy starts to help, but then Jones goes up and snaps his neck and kills him, and then runs off.
And they're really
good at snapping necks. I don't know if they're as good as Saeed breaking with your feet or your legs, but they're not bad.
Not with your hands tied.
Hands tied with your legs, but he starts to run away. Locke starts to point the gun at him, but then he can't shoot him. Sawyer tries to shoot him, which does not count for the contest.
It does not count in the contest, just that right up front.
But then Sawyer's like, why didn't you shoot him? Locke goes, because he's one of my people.
Yes, one of my people.
Why do you have so much contempt for that poor guy?
That Widmore had no problem snapping his partner's neck, but Locke couldn't shoot one of his people.
Because he's a better person. Widmore is not a good person.
Locke's just a coward.
He shouldn't be on the list.
Locke's a coward.
Desmond gets to an apartment or a townhome or something like that, and is looking for Teresa Spencer.
Isn't it a flat?
I guess it's that, if that's what they call it. Isn't it also Teresa falls up the stairs, Teresa falls down the stairs, Boone's nanny?
I think that's it. Could it be the same Teresa that's going through time?
I don't think so.
Oh, it'd be so cool if it was.
You know, this is Lost. It probably is.
Probably is.
But Teresa died when he was a kid because she snapped her neck, which is out of sync with the timeline.
Yeah, it'd still be cool, though.
Yeah, but it's out.
They have used the same names a couple times.
Exactly. So it'd be cool, but it just doesn't work in the timeline. Because that happened when Boone was a kid, and this is seeing Teresa pretty much present time, 2007.
Right.
But he meets his sister.
2008, isn't it?
I think it's... We're in around 2007 because that's where we found Jack saying we had to go back. That was exactly 2007.
Okay.
So around that time could be maybe 2008. So meets his sister, and she says, once he says Faraday, she gets all tense and kind of,
well, come on in.
Yeah, sure, come on in. But then we find Teresa sitting there, and she is in a coma or such.
Well, she comes in and out.
She says, you know, just the other day, she was talking to her dad, who's been dead for five years.
She also was playing with her dolls when she was three or something.
Yeah, and so it's pretty obvious that Teresa is going through time in her mind.
But how come she doesn't go?
Exactly, how come she doesn't die?
Unless her Constance is her sister. But why?
But then
why
she would come out of it. Exactly, she would come out of it.
Unless it's something that maybe it's Faraday's experiment. But why wouldn't he have that in his book to help Charlotte?
Maybe he does, but the island shifting through time isn't the same as whatever he was doing in his lab. It's more advanced, more intense version. Yeah, he had his backpack.
Okay, he did have it. He did have it.
But it seems she is shifting through time, but she's not having the death problem because it's been happening for a while. She's still there, and she's not dead. So maybe he did something that could prolong her life, but she's stuck in that state or something like that.
Yeah, she can't get back to reality.
But she didn't die.
You think they'll explain more of that?
I think so. I definitely think so.
I think they should. They should go back.
Well, maybe that's how he'll have to save Charlotte, is just maybe keep her stuck in that state or something.
Oh, until he can...
Until he
can figure out, get to his mom and find out what's going on.
But she obviously holds some contempt for Daniel, and he says he left her for the States for a second, just, you know, drop of the hat.
What kind of man abandons a woman like that?
Desmond?
A coward.
But says, thanks.
You see Desmond's face going,
not me.
Couldn't tell you.
But then she says, thanks God for Widmore. You know, he funded Daniel's research and he took responsibility for her. All of this is for Widmore. God bless him.
And that's when it confirmed to me that Widmore was making sure that Faraday had no record. But I still don't understand why they kept the stuff there.
What do you mean?
Why they kept
it? I mean, if they're trying to cover up something, that would be gone.
Right.
That would definitely be gone. Unless they wanted to keep it because they know it's actually worth something.
In my world, if I'm covering things up, which I would never do, but that's what first thing I do is get rid of all the evidence.
Not that you've ever done it, but in your professional experience.
I would never do that, but you eliminate a paper trail. And of course, any evidence, you get rid of it.
We go back to the Fradys, and Faraday and Charlotte have a little moment saying, you didn't have to say that. You know, there's other things you could have said to convince them that you weren't going to blow them up. And he said, I said it because I mean it.
I was like, aw. Daniel.
Ellie comes in and picks Faraday up to take him out.
She's a snot.
She's not that bad. She's not as bad as Jonesy Widmore.
No, but she's a little edgy. She's a little... I guess, well, they're at war.
They're at war. It's
tense.
They're
trying to save that island, I guess.
There's an H-bomb just down the road, hung up with a piece of rope.
Yeah, a piece of string.
on the shoddiest little... A 2x4 thing. That scared me just watching it on a TV screen. It's
okay,
like,
here's a thought. Okay. If that bomb falls off, I'm not an expert on bombs, but I've seen movies and the bomb falls and it detonates.
Yeah, it blows up.
Why wouldn't you just put it on the ground?
I agree.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe someone's a bomb expert, maybe that's how it has to be, hanging in the air like that, spinning around in the wind where there's... Bad
with holes in the casing.
Where it rains all the time and, you know, there's a smoke monster going around. Well, maybe there's not a smoke monster yet, but...
Maybe the bomb turns into the smoke monster.
Maybe it does. I just looked at it, I was like going, all right, just have it lowered.
Well, I guess maybe they stopped them just before they were ready to test it.
Okay, yeah.
But even then, it seemed like a very primitive way to hook up a bomb and like test it within safe distance.
Well, didn't they test it underground when they did these tests?
I thought they did them out in the ocean and stuff. They
did them out in Nevada. I'm pretty sure they did them. Well, maybe they did it above ground.
No, they did it above ground. They were stupid back then.
Well, they also had people out, you know, here, we'll give you these little glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's amazing that we don't even want to talk about that. But
I mean, that's how Godzilla was born. Yeah. That would be pretty ridiculous if that showed up on the island.
Well,
but Richard Appert says he wants to, you know, kind of set the record straight so you know what would actually happen. They said they set up camp here, this camp right here, and we asked them to leave, and they didn't, and so we had to kill him.
And then it just shows you that island is so special; these people are willing to kill over it.
Well, and then Richard says, you know, do you have a chain of command? Do you have someone you take orders from? He says, I follow orders too.
Right.
And it's obviously Jacob.
Right.
We then go to, Jones comes running. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you with him? Blah, 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 blah.
I didn't like the way he was running.
No?
He ran kind of funny. If you watch it again, I'm like going, maybe he did a lot of takes. And that's like the,
maybe he was just tired.
The 50s. I was like, come on.
But, and Richard was like, you ran away? What if they followed you? He's like, it was their leader, some old crotchety man. How's he going to follow me?
Now, see, he has the same approach. Come on, this guy's a leader? Come on. I'd be thinking the same thing.
But it's Locke. Of course, he's going to track him down.
Well, you know what he said? He goes, you think he knows the island better than I do?
Yes.
So Widmore or Jonesy at
Jonesy.
This point.
Jonesy Widmore.
Must know the island pretty well. Or he's pretty cocky.
I think he's just young and cocky.
You think so?
That's just my opinion. Locke, Juliet, and Sawyer show up, and Locke sees Richard, and he's like,
of course,
you know,
Locke has to go do his own thing. Locke,
well,
the
let's
team
get
player.
Into it first. He says, how did you know Richard's going to be here? And she says, Richard's always been here.
Yes.
How old is he? And she says, really old. So, I mean, do you even think Richard's human, or do you think maybe he's just like an apparition shown by Jacob?
Maybe he's,
I mean, something weird is going on.
That he's maybe is.
Is he even human?
Maybe he is Jacob.
Maybe he's Jacob, or I don't know if he's Jacob. Because I think they are two separate entities. But it's like, it seems like Richard's like Jacob's right-hand man. But he can't be leader for some reason. Or maybe he's leader at certain times when there's not a human leader or something.
But maybe Jacob can't be the leader. He has to have someone do the work for him.
Because he's not a human form or something.
I'm saying
that's
like Richard. I'm saying that maybe he takes the form of Richard Alford, takes the form of Jacob, and that's what...
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's just, like we were saying, he seems to be the only one that doesn't age. Everyone else is older.
Exactly.
Whitmore is older, Ring Lady is older, Mrs. Hawkins.
And Juliet says, you know, why are you so interested? And he says, because he was going to tell me how to save us.
Right.
So he's doing it for a good cause.
And of course, he goes, what's his name?
So he's like, you know, I'd love to have this I'm another, you're another chat. But the person who's really going to save us is...
Sawyer had some great lines in this episode.
He's going on a death march with that girl over there. And then he says, are you ready to go? And Locke says, you guys go that way, I'm going to go this way.
He goes, this is the guy that's going to... Faraday's going to save us. That's what Sawyer said to Locke. And Locke goes, you know, I do my own thing.
Because he knows he's the one that has to do it. Locke knows what's going on. We then go to Faraday and Ellie. And then Faraday goes, you look so much like someone I used to know. I'm going to say it right now. Ellie is the Ring Lady, Mrs. Hawking.
Yeah.
His mother.
Right.
In the past.
I think it was confirmed a few times. When he said, you know, you're not Casanova, not in this case. And, you know.
Yeah. So, totally think that's what it is. She wants to know who he is and she's not fooled by him. Says, I'm your best chance of disarming that bomb.
Right.
And then we see the bomb, a.k.a. Jughead. We go to commercial break. We come back. Faraday inspects the bomb and he finds a leak in the casing. He freaks out and starts running away.
Now, he's pretty... I know radiation. You just... Anywhere close to it, you get exposed to it, right?
Well, exactly. So, you don't want any prolonged exposure to
right.
it.
Right. He sprinted out of there.
Yeah. And then she keeps going. He's like, I don't think it's a very good idea for you to be pointing a gun with a hydrogen bomb right behind us.
You know, if it goes up, boom.
Yeah, we're all dead.
But he was talking to her like he, obviously he knows her. He knows
and he didn't want her to die either.
He knows it's his mom because if she dies,
he's not
he's
existing.
Gone.
Yeah. So then she says, you know, you need to bury it. She keeps asking questions to the point of where he slips and says,
well, do you,
50
you
know, years from now, the iron's still here.
Do you have lead? Do you have cement casing?
So bury it.
I started saying, did they build it? Is that where the Swan Station's at?
See, I don't think so because the Swan Station blew up.
But remember when Saeed and Jack...
I know he said that. This is the same thing for Chernobyl. You know?
Chernobyl. So, but what if they somehow, when they buried it, they somehow figured out a way to disarm it?
Possibly, but then what happens when the Swan Station blows up? Detonate the H-bomb.
Well, it imploded up, so it didn't really blow.
Implode is like
implode.
Inward.
That, so that's right, but imploded. But how deep did they bury it?
I don't know.
It just seems odd that they would say, because they never went back and explained.
Well, there's still a whole bunch of energy and issues with the Swan Hatch, which I think whatever happened when they were trying to set up the Orchid Station or something, they accidentally drilled in too deep and put a hole in the dam, and the whole Swan Station was there for that's for the incident. They accidentally released that energy.
I think you're probably right, but when I started here, when they said bury it, lead and cement, I right away thought of Saeed and Jack.
I remember that, yes.
And I said, well, maybe that's where they buried it somehow. And
but I think the last episode confirmed that the incident was they probably dug too deep somewhere and released that energy and kind of messed everything up.
Yeah.
And the Swan Station was there to kind of hold it all together it's and expel the energy.
It's just a thought.
And timed releases.
Of course, in the Swan Station, it's got a lot of... But 50 years, there'd be more growth and... We don't know where they buried it. I'm trying
exactly,
to think of
yeah.
where they had it hanging on a twine.
Sawyer steps in and gets her disarm, and
well, Juliet had a great guy. Why don't we all put our guns down? Come
and
on, guys.
She asks, is he from the future too? And Sawyer's like, you told her. That was great.
And then he had the McFly look again.
Yeah, he does. Desmond storms into Widmore's office, and Widmore seems amused at his sight.
Right. And then Widmore has the bodyguard.
Yeah, and he tells him to leave.
He's a colleague.
He asks him where Faraday's mother is. Right, goes right to it. Calls him out about what Daniel Faraday did and how he funded his research and everything. And Widmore wants to know if Penny is safe.
And what's his name won't say anything.
No, he doesn't tell him anything. And then Widmore gives him her contact info, and she's in L.A. Mrs. Hawkins is Daniel
Well, he's
Faraday's
he's
mom,
well, we've talked about he's setting him up.
I think he might
it's
be setting
a, it's
him
a trap.
Up.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
Well, he knows he's telling him he can't, stay out of it. You know, something you don't want to mess with. This is something that happened years ago. He knows he's telling him that he's going to go to L.A.
Yeah. Widmore tells Desmond to get out in and out as quick as possible and go back to wherever you were hiding.
Right.
We then go back to Locke, who storms the camp. He yells for Richard, and Jones right away comes up and stops him. And then Richard comes out. He says, "Who are you? I'm John. Like, is that supposed to mean something for me?" And he says, "Jacob sent me." And like, that was great.
Whoa.
Jones isn't having it. He doesn't believe it. And Richard kind of knocks his gun out.
Well, Jones has probably never met Jacob.
No, probably not. And says to cool it, Widmore.
Right. And we like, and then Locke turns around and goes, Charles Widmore?
And he goes, Widmore?
Yeah.
Charles Widmore?
Do
like,
I know
yeah,
you?
What's it to you?
No, he goes, do I know you? He goes, no, nice to meet you. But that was like...
That was a huge reveal.
I was like, oh, man. I would never have guessed that either. No, we knew Widmore was probably on the...
Exactly. I think most people knew he was probably
on the
island.
Island. But I was like going... When he said that, I said, oh, my God.
I would not have guessed that Widmore was Jonesy.
Right.
So
that makes that we pretty much know now that Faraday is probably... Widmore's son?
I'm thinking Faraday's Widmore's son, and that's the son between him and Miss Hawkins.
Right. That he's somehow... He's,
Ellie.
But why doesn't he have a British accent?
Because he's probably raised in the U.S. or something like that.
Okay.
Or he's just that cool. I don't know.
Oh.
I know. I'm not saying... I'm not going to... I'm just joking.
But do we both agree that that's probably what it is? That
probably.
That Faraday is Widmore's son?
I agree.
Now, do you think Faraday knows that?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe he kind of thinks, but I don't know if he knows.
Well, he hasn't met. He didn't meet Jonesy. Because he was off. He was off in the
woods. No, he did when Jonesy came up. Jonesy Widmore came up and confronted Richard Alpert when he was going to take him to the H-bomb.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
We then go to Benny and Desmond. He comes back and he lies about Faraday's mom dying.
Horrible liar.
And he calls him out right away.
I mean, it wasn't even like it was like. Gotta play
He's
poker.
Like, shucks.
I gotta play poker with this guy.
And he says he wants to move on. He wants to move on for Penny. He says, "You and Charlie are my life."
And we all
named his kid Charlie.
Well, it's all and after all, he did get Charlie killed. So
Charlie died for him. That's how Penny got to see him.
But Charlie's dead because
that was beautiful.
It was a beautiful moment, but he owed it to him.
But she says, "You'll never forget it, and I guess we'll come along with you."
Right.
We then go to Richard, and Locke gives him his compass, and Richard's kind of baffled what's going on.
Is this supposed to mean something to me?
Yeah, he's like, "You gave it to me in the future." And he says, "I'm your leader. You told me." And Richard goes, "Not to contradict myself."
I'm picking you as leader? You?
But we have, a very long process that starts from a very young age. And he says, "What year is it? 1954. And he says, I was born May 20th, 1956, in Tustin, California. Look me up.
Now, that goes to the scene last year.
Well, see, now here's the thing. If it's not like in a paradox situation, it wouldn't be that way. He would have gone anyway to check him out.
That's true. But maybe he went because he was told, you know, in 1954, he was told to go there. But why did he go there? And Locke, he finds out Locke picked the wrong item.
Exactly. But so, something's going on there. Then he says, you need to tell me how to get off to science. That's very privileged information. And then the time starts to skip again. The camp disappears.
And you notice, the only one that heard the noise was Locke.
No one Locke, yeah. So I think it's only the people that are actually experiencing right. It. Then the whole camp disappears, and then we see everybody kind of disperse, you know, throughout the area.
Right.
And Faraday finds Charlotte. He, you know, gets off her little things holding her hands together.
A little rope.
You know, that stuff didn't seem very tight or anything.
Yeah, it just seemed like
like a scrunchie almost, just holding hands together. But I guess the others know how to tie that stuff up. Yeah. Or I don't know.
Maybe it's the same stuff that's holding up the Jughead bomb. You just can't snap it.
Dental floss.
Yeah, dental floss. You see that guy who'll be selling it on the, is Billy Mays here? This rope will hold anything up. Look at this hydrogen bomb.
Oh my god. Charlotte nose starts to bleed.
It bled a lot.
It did, and she falls and cut to Lost.
Now it's like, wow, is Charlotte gonna die?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I'm gonna say no.
Because okay, now we assume that Miles is Pierre Cheng's son.
Uh-huh.
Right? We assume that Daniel Faraday is the ring ladies, Hawking's and Widmore's son.
Yes.
Who is Charlotte's parents? It has to be someone on the island.
Does it have to be someone on the island?
I think so because she was so excited when she found the polar bear with the. Who is her dad? Who is her parents from the island?
God, I don't know. Someone we haven't seen yet.
It has to be someone we've seen, and I can't figure out who it is. It has to be someone we've seen before.
We've seen already.
Someone we've seen already. And I've been racking my brain.
Zeke the Friendly Sea Billy?
Since I saw this a couple days ago.
Tom?
No.
No? Okay.
No. It has to be someone. So if anybody has any ideas, I think that would be some great phone calls and theories for people sitting. Because I've been racking my brain for the last 2 days trying to figure out who it could be.
All right. Well, that's
it has to be someone who's got red hair, right? Not necessarily, but someone that's...
It could be a recessive genes that shows up. But for TV's sake, they'll probably show someone with red hair just to make it translate easier.
One of those things was Harper. Harper had red hair, right?
Did she?
She had red hair. So could it be Goodwin, maybe?
Possibly. No, because
they're not old enough. Maybe it's like a...
Time warp thing.
I don't know. It's just crazy.
Well, that's what we thought about this episode. Let's hear what you guys have to think about in listener feedback.
Right.
All
right,
here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, so listener feedback time. Got a lot of great listener feedback to get into. Jack, so what do you say we do it?
Do it.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is Gary from Columbus, Ohio, and I have two words to say. Wow. Wow. What an amazing episode. We're just sitting here with our jaws hitting the floor. Can't believe that Widmore is a young dude under the Richard Alpert command and that, all this stuff. I'm just, my head's spinning. I'm going to watch it again. We DVR'd it. I hope you did. Oh, wait, you already watched it 10 days ago. Man, you guys. Anyway, have a great night and can't wait to hear the, the goods.
Hey, guys, it's me. After watching tonight's kick-butt episode of Lost, I just had a thought that perhaps the girl who took Faraday out to Jughead and kept threatening to shoot him is actually Mrs. Hawkins, the ring lady, who I guess I and everyone else by now probably believes is his mother. And even if she's not his mother, it still makes sense because he had to have come across her at some point in their mutual island research. And I think that is why he told the young version of her that she looked familiar because she was a younger version of his mom. And, of course, it just makes the plot thicken between We'll need more in Ben and Desmond and Faraday and Mrs. Hawking, et cetera, et cetera. Like, if Widmore was funding Faraday and Mrs. Hawkins was his mom and they were both on the island together, Widmore and Mrs. H, and now she's working with Ben, and Desmond is Widmore's son-in-law, and he's an exception to the rule, and Faraday is his constant, and oh my God, my hurts. So that's my theory. I think that that is who she is. And I think also as far as, I guess now we know why Richard Alpert sought out John Locke. Because John Locke in the future told him to seek him out, and it's just, whoa, crazy. But anyway, thanks for the good show, and I will talk to you probably in a few minutes. Okay, bye.
Hello, Jay and Jack. This is Isabel. I'm calling from Ecuador in South America, and just 5 minutes ago finished recording, watching the last episode of Lost, Jughead. And holy crap, I mean, last week was confusing. Like, right now, it's even worse. Like, my mind is all over the place. I don't even know where to start. Like, they're just throwing so much crap at us. And really, I don't know what's going on. I'm, like, so confused. And I don't know who is who and who's in which.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Freeman Tim in Detroit. Just calling after finishing watching Jughead. Gotta say, Season 5 is not disappointed yet. Completely unbelievable episode. I think probably the best revelation was when Locke discovers that the one, I don't know, private or whatever, is actually Charles Widmore, which now makes a whole lot of sense as to why Widmore has spent most of his adult life trying to find the island, because obviously something happened where he either was exiled off the island or was removed somehow and wants to get back. So the question remains is, does he want to get back just to be on the island, or is there something else on the island that he left? Or maybe if he was actually in the military, maybe he wants to finish his mission. Truly a great episode. And I like the way that they kind of set up Richard Alpert showing up at Locke's house when he is younger. And I'm assuming later in this season we'll probably see Locke talking to Alpert again, trying to tell him, well, go visit me while I'm a teenager. Just a couple thoughts there. Very good episode overall. Can't wait to hear your guys' thoughts. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you for those calls. Since Jack wasn't able to record the feedback section with us because he had to ref a hockey game, I'm going to get into some emails about tonight's episode. First up is an interaction from Joey in Tennessee. So Alpert said that they recruit their leaders from an early age. This makes so much sense in Cabin Fever, why Alpert is a part of Locke's childhood. Holy cow, holy cow, holy cow. Also, I'm sticking with Mrs. Hawkins being Daniel's mother, and I think she is Ellie from 1954. In a weird twist, it would be interesting to learn that Daniel's father is Widmore, making Penny Daniel's sister. Love the podcast, Joey in Tennessee. And yes, I mean, I think this one, this episode's The Ring Ladies in the Picture moment is going to be people thinking that Ellie, the woman in the 50s version of the island, is Miss Hawkins or Daniel's mother. And I think that was pretty apparent when Faraday said, "You look so familiar." Let's get into another email here from Christy in Miramar, Florida. The Mabu Hay sign that was right near the dock at the beginning of the episode when Desmond was running to get a doctor for Penny. Sign of being when Desmond is running back with the doctor means long life in Filipino. It is also a Philippine municipality in Zamboanga, Zibugue, where obviously the baby is being born. So the sign right there as he's running out to the dock where his boat is means long life. So I guess little baby Charlie will have a long life. All right, so that's it for the emails. I'm going to get into the last set of calls here, then we're getting to Jack's update on the Season 5 contest. And remember to call us in for the Monday show when we'll have a lot of listener feedback and a lot of discussion on what you guys had to think. All right, here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is John from New York. Just wanted to call in. Initial reaction after the episode was, it was amazing. My favorite line was when John Locke looked at Widmore and he said, "Nice to meet you." It was so good. I don't have any theories right now, but I got to go rewatch that because it was just so great. All right, look forward to the podcast. Bye.
Hey, Jane Jack. This is Billiam again. I was calling to just say that this episode was awesome. I'm not sure as much as last week's too, but it was still really good. And I have another theory. I am taking a guess here and saying that it's possible that Charles Widmore is Daniel Faraday's mother, and the woman that walked Faraday to the bomb is actually his mother as well. So, and also that goes along with the theory that the woman in the church at the end of the season premiere is also his mother. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. All right, great episode, great show. Keep it going, guys. See you later.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Pensacola Phil. Just finished tonight's episode, and pretty cool, pretty cool. I was starting to wonder, though, every time it kept flashing back to the our what's left of our fuses, I'm noticing that all we have now is Sawyer, Locke, we have Juliet, and then we have our couple of guys from the freighter. And I started to wonder, has anyone been keeping a tally on how many of these fuses are actually still alive? Because I know Hurley took a census in season one, and there was something like 40. I don't remember the exact number. I'm starting to wonder, you know, hey, by the time Jack and crew get back to the island, is there going to be anyone from 815 still there other than Sawyer and Locke? I don't know. Just wondering if anyone was actually keeping count. Oh, well. Looking forward to hearing the podcast.
Hey, I just got through watching Jughead. It's Chris from Tennessee. First, I'd just like to say that I'd say it's probably official now. There is no more log-carrying guys. And now I also have a theory. I believe that the blonde-headed girl that was with Faraday is his mother. I don't know if anybody else will come up with that, probably, but it's a great show, and can't wait to listen to y'all's show. And
hey, Gene Jack, this is Mike calling. How's it going, guys? Just finished watching Jughead, and I gotta say, I love this episode. I'm really digging the going back in time thing. Just reminds me of Back to the Future and all those different aspects of time travel. It's just very, very interesting. But I have a theory about the list. You know how we were all freaked out, like in the first and second seasons, when they had all those lists, and the first list, and for the I guess the survivors of the first plane crash. Oh, not the first plane crash, but the tail section. You know, the list for the tail section. And then the list for Kate and all of those people. What if Locke made those lists? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it was Locke or someone else from the future who wrote that list. I'm not sure if that's a good theory or not, but it's just something that I think could have happened, I guess. And it's kind of cool that we got to see Charles Widmore in his prime age, I guess. But I still understand how he figured out into this whole thing. Why is he such an important character? Because from the point of, you know, 1956, he's just like a grunt worker, right? He's just like one of the people who's defending the island. So why is he so important later on? And I guess we'll get to see that later. Anyway, enjoy the episode and looking forward to your next podcast. All right, bye.
All right, Jack, we didn't have any questions answered. Well, aside
the only
from
thing
one.
That was answered was, well, thing was Charlotte, who has appeared in her third episode.
Uh-huh.
So on the count, there was no Hurley, so there's no dude count, no other questions answered. Sawyer did not, he shot at someone,
uh-huh.
but did not shoot anyone.
Okay.
I think you have to actually physically, the bullet has to hit the body.
Okay, that's what has to happen for that to count.
And we didn't see Jonesy / Widmore, who didn't have any McCutcheons.
No McCutcheons.
You know, in his canteen, maybe.
Well, it was expensive stuff back then. I was still a poor Widmore.
Yeah.
It wasn't Charles well, yet. He was still Jonesy.
That's how powerful this Widmore has tons of money.
Well, is that because of his island stint or maybe something else he did?
But he has tons of money. What's so important about that island? He has to get back.
Because it's his home. He wants to go back.
It's revenge because he was banished from it. He was kicked off the island. So
you could definitely see the tension between him and Richard.
Yeah. So
there was already tension building there.
And maybe he wanted to be leader.
Possibly.
And he just didn't have the makeup and he got kicked.
Yeah.
Kicked to the curb. Anyway, in the contest, it's... Vicus. I've been saying Vicus. So did we say
Vicus?
Vicus. I know I'm probably still pronouncing this wrong. I apologize. But he's done a great job. There's 777 entries
Woo!
In the contest. And right now there are six people with 258 points, but two of them cheated because they saw the episode. I know for a
Ooh.
Fact it would be Colleen McAllister and Jay Glaffler saw the episode and actually answered the answer. Now, I did it just to test it out.
Uh-huh.
I knew the answers ahead of time, and I purposely answered them wrong.
Ah.
So they're disqualified.
Can't we still just play along?
You cheated. What kind of morals do you have? You cheated.
I did it fun. I wasn't going to accept any prizes or anything. I just wanted to play.
But you cheated. You knew the answers. Why would you? I answered them incorrectly.
So that means you're at a disadvantage to everybody else.
I'm
at an advantage to everybody else.
Anyway, these are the four top leaders of 258.
Okay.
I'm going off their emails. I'm trying to read it. B-I-A-N-C-A-S-O-T-O. I'm trying to read my writing. Then we had D-D-D-E-D-E.
No, it's just D-D. I think it's just D-E-D-E.
That's what I said.
D-D-D-D-E-D-D-D-E.
I said D-D-D. Look, cheater. You stay over there in your little...
All right, fine.
Your little cheating tower over there.
Fine, whatever. I like my cheating tower.
And then... God, I wish I would write better. Dark...
Are you kidding me? Oh, we just
Knight,
looked at these.
Dark Knight Wing 14.
There you go.
And then it's Jeff Stabe, S-T-A-I-B. There, you guys are in top right now. Now, if you need any more information on the Season 5 contest...
Yes.
You can save yourself a lot of time... And a lot of aggravation on my part. It's on the season. You have to go on our message board.
Yes.
I don't even think you have to register. You can just go on our message board, be a guest. You just couldn't post anything. In the middle of the page, you'll see Ask Jay, Ask Jack, show news and suggestion thread.
Okay.
Under there's a Season 5 contest. It is a sticky. It's been made a sticky.
It's sticky. All
it's
right.
It's a sticky thing. I think there's a list of all the questions. He has a breakdown of all the different how everybody answered the questions. So if you need a list of the questions you want to play along, you can go on there and find the questions. Because I don't have them typed up anywhere. And for me to type it up, all those questions are going to take hours. So it's probably
hours.
So it's probably not going to happen. So to save, you just go on the message board. It's under season show news and suggestion thread. You go on there, you'll find anything you want. Any information you want and
anything.
You're good to go.
All right.
All right.
Are you ready for your crackpot theory of the week?
The crackpot theory of the week, yes.
All right, Ed. Here we go.
Now, my crackpot theory, I was going to do the cheesy way out and say that Widmore was Faraday's dad, but I said, no.
Yeah,
come on.
That's almost a given.
That's a given. Then I really wanted to find out who Charlotte's parents were, or who her uh-huh. mom was, who her dad was. I was going to go with Harper. I said, well, that just doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
It has to be someone on the island. It has to be someone we've seen before.
But you don't. Your spidey senses aren't tingling about
no,
that.
No, I can't figure it out. And it's really bugging me because I know it's somebody that we've seen before.
Okay,
but I can't figure it out.
So
I kept going back to the guy, the janitor guy. We're assuming he's a janitor guy.
Uh-huh.
In Oxford, he knew a lot.
He did know a lot.
He's someone more important than.
Just, you think so?
Yeah, we're going to see him again, something like that. I think he could be working with Ben.
With Ben?
I think we will see him again this season, and he's working with Ben. He knew too much.
But see, now, where do you classify Ben as? Because he seems to be working under Miss Hawkins.
Yeah, but he's going to be... I think Ben also has other people. I don't think Ben...
is all in on board with this people.
You can't trust Ben. Ben has... like, Widmore has
his... ulterior motives.
Like, Widmore has his spies out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he thinks right now, he probably thinks he has Sun on his side.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think he does. I think Sun is working with...
Sun, I think, is working for herself.
I think she's working with Ben.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's working with Ben to get back to the island, to get Kate back to the island, the whole thing. So Ben always has his little motives going, you know, his little side deals going on.
Uh-huh.
He always has. And I think that he is going to, I think somehow this guy, we'll see him again.
Okay.
Remember his face.
Okay.
We'll see him again this season with Ben.
All right. And?
I'm sticking to it.
Well, you got to say that's...
oh, that's my crackpot theory. And I'm sticking to it.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right, you ready to close
but
the show?
But I really want to hear some good theories on who Charlotte's parents are.
Okay.
Obviously, they've all been on the island before.
Uh-huh.
We all kind of thought about that last year.
Yeah.
Ever since we saw that Charlotte, when she found the... we assumed Charlotte was on there before. But then at the end of the season, when they were saying, oh, you want to find your...
yeah, or why are you going to leave when you just got back?
Right.
Yeah.
So we know she was born there. We know all three of them were born on the island.
Not for certain, but that's kind of where we're leaning.
I think they were all born on the island.
I know you can think, but we don't know for sure. But
we
thought that Widmore definitely was on the island before. We didn't have any confirmation until this episode.
Yeah, which was
awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah. Who are her parents? Who are her parents?
All right. You ready to close out the show, Jack?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. All right, guys. That is our show for this Thursday.
Yeah.
If you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
That's 206-309-0311. Call anytime. Lots of questions, comments, and or theories. Also, check out our website, jandjack.com, with all important information related to our show, like our message board at lostpodcast.proboards2.com.
Where you can find the show news and suggestion thread.
With a lot of stuff in there, you can ask Jay, you can ask Jack, you can put your theories, you can discuss the episodes as they're happening, a lot of stuff, and there's a great miscellaneous section. It's a great forum for our community, and we all have a lot of fun.
Yep.
Been working on all that stuff, finally made an official Facebook group.
Wow. And I'm already a friend. Or a member. Is it a friend or a member?
Something, I think it's a member. But I'll post a link to that on the post for this episode.
Will this link work?
Yes, and hopefully eventually I asked Evan, maybe we'll get a nice sidebar button on there too for that. Also, due to popular demand, I've always had
Jay's quitting.
I've had my own Twitter for a while now, but now the Jay and Jack, the Lost Podcast, with Jay and Jack will have an official Twitter.
Now, do I have to twit?
You can if you want to. No. But I'll usually use it to post the latest what's going on when we have a new episode or some new news and stuff like that going on with our show and being kept up to date with Jay and Jack.
I'm not really a Twitter, so I'm just not a...
You can tweet if you want to.
I don't... Is it tweet?
You can tweet if you want to. It's tweet.
Tweet? Okay.
But you can find that at twitter.com/Jay and Jack. One word. twitter.com/Jay and Jack. Follow us and get the latest news and updates about Jay and Jack and what's going on with us.
We want people stalking us. You just said follow us, so how we want.
Well, that's what's called following, because then you it's like you keep up to date with everybody. Tell them what's going on. You find out what's going on.
No, I see it. I see people every day on the Facebook telling them what they're doing and stuff like that.
Obama was a Twitter or a tweeter.
Well, you know, thanks to Obama
and
all his, you know, I'm the president now. We're not as high up on iTunes as we should be. I'm not bitter or anything. I know, man. It's a big deal and stuff like that.
You know our true enemy is Chris from the Official Lost Podcast.
I know that.
Chris!
Have they put out a new podcast?
I think they did like a video or something.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, but yeah. I think it was a thing they showed at Comic-Con.
We were two behind them.
We were close.
Two behind at one point. Now we're like 10, 12. That Obama guy, man. Hasn't he had enough publicity already? Take a week off. Let us catch up. Let us get a little higher.
Someone's a little bitter over there.
Something for the effort.
Anyways, ding.
Hey, at least we're ahead of the Keith Olbermann. I just noticed we were ahead of him. I just looking at the different things people were ahead of, I said, oh, that's cool.
We're ahead of a lot of people. We're ahead of Flight of the Conchords, Ricky Gervais' free podcast.
I think,
or they come back ahead of us.
I think Flight of Condors passed us again.
Okay.
They're funny.
All right, well, enough. The thing with them, I'm gonna shut down Bitter Jack because it's getting ugly.
The thing with them, they're both funny.
Uh-huh.
We don't have that.
You're just... Why are you bitter all of a sudden? It's like you're in a good mood and bam, bam, bam.
Well, you know, I just like to That's how I roll.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys.
No. We got to talk about the Autism Speaks podcast.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we may have added another guest.
Okay, what's the name?
Okay, we have Jorge Garcia.
Jorge Garcia.
Oh, once again, too, I kept saying they'll join us. They're not going to be in. I don't want you guys making.
They're invited, but they're probably not able to come.
They can come to Raleigh, North Carolina if they want, but we don't know if they're coming or not.
Yeah.
More than likely, they will join us via the phone. Phone lines.
Via Skype
or satellite. But they're not going to. Because I don't want people making reservations going thinking they're going to come there and they're going to be there.
But Dale will be there. And
Dale will be there.
That's worth whatever cost it is alone.
Actually,
just to see him and realize he's a real person.
Knowing Dale's going to be there, I may not be there. I may do it by phone.
But I think it's for people. They can actually see he's a real person and not just somebody we made up.
You know, but actually they see him. They might think he's really not a real person. There's because there's no way.
But yeah, we're going to have a big party there and it's looking to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we got Jorge Garcia.
Yep.
We have the Hockley brothers. We have
Dan.
Ralph from the Darmalars.
Yes.
We have Ryan and Jen from the Transmission. We have...
Well, we sent a message. Action Jackson sent a message to
Malcolm
David Kelly.
And he said he would...
He said he really wants to do it as long as his schedule permits.
So we're still working on it, but it looks like if he can get it fit into his schedule, he will join us.
Which is pretty awesome.
I'm
pretty excited about that if that happens.
We're still inviting some other people, but we're still waiting to hear from them.
Exactly.
And I guess some other people are coming down, and like I said, it should be a lot of fun, and we're hoping to raise a lot of money. And
Malcolm David Kelly, yes, Walt from Lost.
Right. And every single penny will go to Autism Speaks.
Yes. All right, so we'll see you guys this Monday. Remember, give us your calls, everything that you could possibly imagine. And Jack, you had a special request for theories about...
Oh, who is Charlotte's mom? Parents,
there you go.
Mom. Who's her mom and who's her dad?
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Should we give some kind of prize for anyone that's right? No, because then we might have like 1,000 people that
exactly,
are right.
Exactly. So
you're just cheap.
I'm not cheap. That's not fair.
We'll give you a Jughead.
Then we'll get his Charlotte theories. We want everybody's
theories. We'll give you a Jughead bomb.
That's a great idea. Let's go to North Korea real quick. All right. See you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.